Okay, good afternoon, folks. Thanks for tuning in to the Peter Mac Show. I'm Peter McAnalys. Today is August 5th, 2007. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. This is the show dedicated to the promotion of individual rights as exemplified in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And if you want to give me feedback at any time, you can send me an email at my own website, which is petermacshow.com. Visit that website, www.petermacshow.com. And I appreciate any comments you have, good, bad, or otherwise, because I want to bring you the best material I can in the 2 hours I have with you every week. My special guest today with me is Mr. Mark Lerner, and we are going to talk about the Real ID Act. Now, I don't know a lot about it. As I told my guest, Mark, prior to the show, basically what I know is that that act is due to go into effect. The law has already been passed. The act is due to go into effect in May of 2008. So, Mark, if you're there, is that correct?
Actually, by May of 2008, each state is required to notify the Department of Homeland Security of their intention to comply. They may ask for an extension at that time.
Okay. And can you just give us some background, Mark, if you would, on yourself, if that's appropriate, or how you got interested in the Real ID Act and sort of the historical background? What brought us to this point where the federal government thinks that it has the right to issue or compel all of us to have a national ID and enforce that through the states?
Well, I'll answer the first part of the question first, which is how I got involved in what I'm doing and why I have the expertise I do on this subject. I started after 9/11. I was one of the people, I guess you would say, on the other side. In terms of, I supported the use of biometrics. I supported a lot of the measures that I felt were needed in order to protect our country. And as a result of that, I got involved with the biometrics industry. By getting involved with them, what I mean is I was in direct contact in person, by phone and an email, with the senior executives within the biometrics industry. That includes chairman of the board, CEOs, and other high-ranking officials. Okay. And as such, I became a confidant of these people, a trusted individual that they believed was a proponent of the use of their technology. For your listeners that aren't familiar with biometrics, that would be what we commonly refer to as fingerprinting or a facial recognition scan where your picture is matched against a database to identify who you are. Also, there are palm prints, scans of your iris. These are biometrics. These are algorithms that are put in place, mathematical formulas that measure distances between maybe your eyes and your ears, your nose and the top of your mouth. All these measurements go into determining that you are, in fact, the person you say you are, or are used to simply identify you. Mm-hmm. Now, as a confidant of the people in the biometrics industry, I also got involved with a number of other technologies, what we call information sharing technologies and also data mining technologies. And we'll get into that a little later. But the Real ID Act itself was passed in May of 2005. It was an act that was designed with the intention, supposedly, of creating linked databases among state DMV offices.
Okay. And can you hold that thought there, Mark? We'll be back here in just a minute, folks. Stay with us. We'll be right back here on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Attention. This is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt? Maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for tuning in here to the Republic Broadcasting Network on this Sunday, August 5th. Very hot day here in Kansas City. My special guest with me is Mark Lerner. He was just laying out for us his background, how he got involved with the Real ID Act just prior to the break there. So go ahead, Mark. Continue if you would, please.
Yes, Peter. I was traveling around the country speaking with people in law enforcement, our intelligence community, people in our government at the State Department and other agencies and departments promoting the use of biometrics. Now, what happened is, in 2005, the Real ID Act was passed. It is law now. Now, there are two points about this. Number one, you have two international organizations, the AAMVA, which is a motor vehicle organization, Motor Vehicle Administrators. It's an international organization. And you have the ICAO, which is the International Civil Aviation Organization. These two organizations have been promoting the sharing of information going back really 20 years. So the idea that 9/11 itself is responsible for the Real ID Act is a false presumption or idea. Okay. These international organizations have been working for nearly 20 years to share information globally. Now, 9/11 provided the impetus, if you will, for this to actually take place. That is one reason. Also, up until really the mid-1990s, the technology didn't exist to be able to share information the way we can today. Mm-hmm. But once 9/11 took place, the government and private industry came together and decided there was a need to share information. And as a result of that, we had the Real ID Act. Now, Congressman Sensenbrenner is the one who brought the legislation to the House floor. Now, it passed in the House overwhelmingly, very little opposition. I believe there were 8 Republican congressmen that voted against the Real ID Act. There was a limited amount of debate. When it got to the Senate, all 100 senators voted in favor of it. Wow. Now, go ahead, Peter.
I just said, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible thing. But what happened is the Real ID Act, when it got to the Senate, was attached to a military spending and tsunami relief bill, which are, at that time, it was considered must-pass legislation.
Right.
Nobody at that time in 2005 was going to vote against allocating funds for the military or for not providing relief for tsunami victims.
Right.
So when this thing was attached literally in the middle of the night under darkness, it was assured approval. And it did. It got approved 100 votes to 0 in the Senate. Mm-hmm. Now, what the Real ID Act does is this. It requires a lot of things, but at the end of the day, what it does is it links all state DMV, Department of Motor Vehicle, databases. It ensures that one state is able to communicate with another state concerning information about a resident or a citizen of a state and their driving history. Now, unfortunately, that's not the only information that's going to be contained within these databases. So you have basically state-to-state linking of databases. Now, the Department of Homeland Security, who really was the impetus for the Real ID Act, they will tell you the federal government is not going to be part of this linking of databases. That in itself is not completely honest. It's not an honest assessment of the situation. Under the 1994 Driver's Privacy Protection Act, any federal agency or department acting within the scope of its law enforcement jurisdiction is able to require or request information directly from state DMV databases. Now, when the 1994 Driver's Privacy Protection Act was passed, we didn't have a lot of the technology available that we do today. So the federal government at that time, even though the Driver's Protection Act didn't require it, Privacy Protection Act didn't require it, the federal government would go to the particular state in question and request information from that DMV. But there is nothing in the 1994 Driver's Privacy Protection Act that requires the federal government to request information. It just simply says the federal government is allowed to get that information. So if they are able to do it without having to request it from the states and they can do it on their own, they have every right to do so. So what that means is the federal government is going to have access by law to all information contained in state DMV databases. That's one requirement, the creation of these linked state databases.
Okay,
another requirement is each state is going to have to verify source documents, the authenticity of these documents. If you move from Florida to Missouri and you want to get a driver's license, you will have to provide documents, what we call source documents, things such as your birth certificate and other forms of identification, to establish you are who you are.
Right.
The state of Missouri then would be required to verify with the state of Florida that that birth certificate or identification is in fact authentic before they can issue a license. This is going to create a number of problems in itself.
Well, let me stop you there and just recap if I can, make sure I've got this correct. So initially, the Real ID Act was an attempt to simply link all the Department of Motor Vehicle departments in all 50 states.
Right.
Okay, and then the 1994, what was it, the Privacy Act?
Driver's Privacy Protection Act.
What was it allegedly, whose privacy was it allegedly protecting? The drivers?
Yes, the people whose information was contained within state data, state Department of Motor Vehicle databases.
But that act allowed the federal government then to look into this database, if you will, if they wanted to?
Absolutely, as long as the act requires, it was in the scope of that agency, federal agency or department's jurisdiction or job description.
Okay.
So if you're a law enforcement agency, whether it be the FBI, the DEA, ATF, or whichever one you want to pick,
right,
under the 1994 Drivers Privacy Protection Act, you have the right to obtain information from any state as long as the information you are obtaining relates to your agency's job description or mission statement.
Okay. Well, that's pretty wide in scope right there.
That's the point. It is extremely broad.
Okay. So what we had was an initial plan simply to allow the states to share data regarding driver's licenses, and then the 1994 Drivers Privacy Protection Act is what allowed the federal government to get its hands, if you will, into this database.
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly. And in all your discussions about the Real ID Act, and I've listened to quite a few and I've spoke with people around the country as I go to speak with different groups, I hear nobody speaking about the 1994 Drivers Privacy Protection Act. I hear the federal government saying, we are not going to be directly linked to these state DMV databases. And in fact, they may not be directly linked, but they don't have a need to be directly linked because of the 1994 Drivers Privacy Protection Act.
They can just go to any state and request data in the state.
And really, they don't even have to request it. If they have a way now with technology to be able to access that information, the law simply provides that they are allowed to have that information. It doesn't specifically state that the information has to be requested. So as technology continually improves and the federal government, whichever agency you're talking about or department, has the ability to access databases even without permission, the law states they will have a right to do so in order to obtain the information that they need.
Okay, so because of its inception way back in, what, the 90s or even earlier, the Real ID Act had nothing to do with Homeland Security, per se, because obviously Homeland Security didn't come about until after 9/11.
Well, that's exactly true. What happened was in the 1980s, the mid-1980s, the AAMVA, which is the Administrator of Motor Vehicle Administrators, it's an international organization, they suggested at that time that minimum standards be adopted for numerous countries. Okay, now it's just basically almost a worldwide organization, but they suggested at that time that minimum standards be adopted so that all driver's licenses, and at that time theoretically around the world, would meet minimum standards. Now, at that time, we didn't have the technologies we had today. And the information from these driver's licenses that would meet these minimum standards is now kept in databases. And that really is the problem with the Real ID Act. I don't think most people would disagree with the idea that we ought to have tamper-proof driver's licenses.
Right.
I don't think anybody really is in favor of people counterfeiting driver's licenses for whatever reason.
Right.
But it's the creation of these databases and the sharing of information that literally ought to be scaring all Americans. And we'll cover that a little later on. But the other issue is this idea that this is being done or was done as a result of 9/11 is completely false. We were headed in this direction 20 years ago.
Okay. But 9/11 gave it the push that it needed to get past in 2005 and be where we are now. Right? Okay, we'll be back here in just a couple minutes, folks. Stay with me. We have Mark Lerner on the line. We're talking about the Real ID Act.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
In here to the Republic Broadcasting Network, we're talking to Mark Lerner about the Real ID Act. Mark, before you continue, let me make a comment, if I could, then. And that's about the 1994 Driver's Privacy Protection Act. So allegedly, the government passed this act, or they're telling us, the citizens of the various states, they're passing this act to make sure that your driver's license cannot be counterfeited and, information therefrom fall in the wrong hands, right?
That's part of it. They're also saying that it will reduce the likelihood of identity theft.
Okay, similar kind of thing. But in reality, they're linking up, and this is always my suspicion with government. They sort of speak with a forked tongue, or at least that's my view. You may differ, and that's fine. They're saying, we're going to prevent private people from getting access to this information, but they're creating this vast web connecting all 50 states, which means that bureaucrats in the 50 states across the country are now going to have access to my driver's license data or your driver's license data who previously would not. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
Okay, and that right there bothers me.
There should be a lot more that does bother you, and I think as we get into this, it will. It's a little tough to follow the first 5 or 10 minutes of this discussion because there are so many groups and agencies involved in mm-hmm. how we got to this point. And the actions these groups took and the laws that were passed took place before 9/11. And I just want to give a quick rundown for your listeners of how we got to the point we're at.
Okay, great.
In 1986, a law was passed that required biometrics for commercial license holders, okay, and the Commercial Motor Vehicle Safety Act of 1986, okay? Now, what that required was the use of biometrics for people that got or received commercial driver's licenses. Mm-hmm. Since that time, there's been an effort to use biometrics to identify American citizens. And a number of states already use biometrics in conjunction with their state driver's licenses. They use either fingerprints, facial recognition technology, or a combination of the two. So what's happening here is the real impetus for the creation of the Real ID Act was simply to get all people enrolled in a biometric identification system and then be able to link the databases that contained the biometric information. Now, the federal government will tell you that the Real ID Act does not create a de facto national ID card.
Right.
In fact, they're being dishonest with people about that, and I'll give you a good example of that. The state of Washington recently, in cooperation with the Department of Homeland Security, has agreed to produce a driver's license that contains an RFID chip, radio frequency identification chip.
Right.
That chip will contain your biometric information, the state of Washington's residents' biometric information, their facial recognition, and their fingerprinting information.
Right.
Now, this new license with RFID and biometric technology is now going to be allowed to be used to cross into Canada and to come back into the United States. Now, current law provided that people would be required to use passports.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how familiar your listeners are with the passport situation, but in 2001, Congress mandated that electronic passports would be used, not just by the United States, but roughly 26 other countries whose citizens are not required to use or to have visas to enter the United States. These e-passports, electronic passports, if you go to get a new passport today, these passports contain your biometric information, your facial recognition, and your fingerprinting information. Now, the State Department and Department of Homeland Security have not been able to manufacture or produce these passports, process the applications for the passports in a timely manner.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happened is Department of Homeland Security and Canadian authorities have agreed for the use of driver's licenses in lieu of passports as long as the driver's licenses contain the same biometric information. And the only way anybody can or should look at this is when your driver's license is accepted by another government as an authentic form of identification and can be used in lieu of a passport, it no longer becomes a state driver's license. It becomes an international document.
Sure.
For the Department of Homeland Security to say that this new driver's license under the Real ID Act is not, in fact, a national ID is, number one, that's false. But even much worse, it has become an international ID. And the Department of Homeland Security is on record as stating they have every intention of working with other states that border on border with Canada, and for that matter, Mexico, to create similar programs and licenses as we now have in Washington State. And along that lines, the state of New York has now joined the state of Washington as of this month in doing so.
Okay. Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a few minutes, folks. Stay with us. We're listening to Mark Lerner talk about the Real ID Act. This is critical information. Be right back.
You're
listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net. With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power. Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
What we've just been learning here prior to the bottom of the hour is that not only the states will share all this information, as I understand it, Mark, through their Department of Motor Vehicles. Each state has a department or whatever they call it of motor vehicles that issues the state driver's license, but now Homeland Security will have access to this data, and they will then share it also with nations around the world. So we have as you're speaking, we have this growing number of bureaucrats at various levels, state and now national and international, who are going to have access to our driver's license data, right?
Yeah, and I want to read you two statements right now that come directly from the Department of Homeland Security officials. And I'm going to quote because I don't want to be accused of misrepresenting what the Department of Homeland Security has said or done. One statement comes from Robert Mockney. He is a deputy director for the U.S. Visit Program, which is a major program under the Department of Homeland Security. Quote, unquote, Mr. Mockney said, We are in the process of biometrifying a good portion of the world's population. We are starting the process of biometrifying a good proportion of the world population. Now, when you take that statement and you add to it other statements, which I'm going to quote, you will understand that the true intention of what the Department of Homeland Security has in mind is to create a biometric identification system, okay, whereby that system is developed through the linking of databases, not just state to state or within our country, but around the world. The Real ID Act is, in fact, enrollment into an international biometric identification system.
Right.
And to prove that point, I will read a couple of quotes here. Number one, and this is Mockney again talking. Mm-hmm. My question is, how is it ethical not to share, Mockney asked. It makes no sense for us to develop separate systems. Now, Mockney sketched a federal plan to extend biometric data sharing to Asian and European governments and corporations so as to create a global security envelope of identity management. Mm-hmm. Now, another representative of DHS, Stuart Baker, he condemned restrictions on information sharing that existed before the September 2001 terrorist attacks. His quote is this: those rules that were in effect that prevented the CIA and FBI from foiling the attacks, Baker said, we have systematically knocked down the walls that prevented sharing of law enforcement and intelligence data. At that time, before the attacks, we were enthralled with creating limits on who would have access to data. Baker rejected the policy of separating data to preserve policy or to preserve privacy. Mm-hmm. Now, so in one hand, what we have is this. We have the Department of Homeland Security telling the American public, our main concern is protecting your privacy. Mm-hmm. The things that we are doing will not affect your privacy.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, and I'm giving you actual quotes of the DHS officials,
right,
they are openly admitting that they have every intention to create international databases and to share information.
Mm-hmm.
In July alone, the Department of Homeland Security and European officials reached an agreement to share information concerning airline passengers. The European officials have been requested by DHS to provide information on passengers concerning their race, religion, even their sexual preference, okay, to American authorities, DHS authorities, before their citizens will be allowed to enter our country.
Mm.
Now, I know most of your listeners don't have a lot of expertise in this area, but I can tell you through the work I did with the biometrics industry, when we request or mandate that other countries do certain things, in other words, for instance, with the E-Passport Act that was passed in 2001, we required all countries whose citizens do not need visas to enter the United States to start using electronic passports. That's the passports with your biometric information. When I spoke with officials outside the United States from other countries, the one thing they emphasized to me is they couldn't get the citizens in their own countries to go along with these measures unless, in fact, the United States did it as well. And obviously we now have a new e-passport.
Right.
So when we request information or demand, mandate, whatever word you want to use, that
right,
European officials provide us with information about their citizens, we have to reciprocate and provide the same information about our citizens.
Right.
So
right,
most Americans don't realize that this kind of information is going to be shared. Now, you can fairly ask, where is the United States going to get this information concerning race, gender, sexual preference? I mean, we don't have a database that really has all that information.
Right.
Well, they have a number of avenues or a number of resources they can use, our government, DHS, to accumulate this information. Number one, a lot of it is going to be contained within state Department of Motor Vehicle databases.
Right.
Number two, our government is very big on the use of data mining. Mm-hmm. And data mining simply means a company will go out and acquire all the information they can from all the sources that are available, court records, credit card transactions, just everything that you would do in your normal life. Mm-hmm. A company would assimilate all the information that pertains to you, and from that information they would be able to glean what party you might belong to, what groups you give money to, what your sexual orientation is. If a person is a homosexual, and let's say they make hotel reservations and you have two men in the same room, mm-hmm. okay, that might lead somebody to believe those men are homosexual.
Right.
If they subscribe to certain magazines, that mm-hmm. may lead people to believe they're homosexual.
Right.
The point being is our government uses data mining companies, and probably the biggest in the world, certainly in this country, is a company located in Atlanta, Georgia, by the name of ChoicePoint.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to discuss that a little later on, but that's how our government goes about getting this information. They use a number of resources that they have, state DMV offices or databases, and companies like ChoicePoint that specialize in data mining. But the first thing I wanted to do was discuss the international part of this. In other words, the true intentions of DHS to create these international databases.
Mm-hmm.
But if you'll allow me for a minute, Peter, I want to go back and discuss the Real ID Act itself.
Please.
Okay. There are three main reasons that most groups, and please appreciate there are 600 groups, over 600 groups in this country that oppose the Real ID Act. Those groups represent the entire spectrum of our society. People on the far right, mm-hmm. Eagle Forum perhaps, people on the far left like ACLU, and everybody in between have voiced opposition to the Real ID Act.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is not something that is a fringe element movement, this opposition.
Right. Right.
It represents the entire spectrum of our society. And here's the reasons why we see such a broad coalition of opposition.
Mm-hmm.
The First Amendment states Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion,
mm-hmm.
okay, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, a lot of religious organizations, especially Christian groups, the evangelicals, a lot of them are opposed to the Real ID Act as a result of their own conscious belief in what you would read in the Bible with Revelation 13, 16, 17, referring mm-hmm. to the mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
They see the fingerprint and the facial recognition scan as being symptomatic or symbolic of the mark on the hand and the mark mm-hmm. on the forehead that we read about in Revelation 13, 16, and 17.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Revelation 13, 16, and 17 discuss a three-step process. Number one, enrollment, and number two, the mark on the hand and the forehead. And then I don't think anybody wants to get to the third stage, which we can start talking about end time. But this is the reason a lot of Christians are opposed to the use of biometrics and the Real ID Act.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, a lot of other religious organizations are opposed to the Real ID Act on a humanitarian basis. They believe that people that come from outside the United States that want to legally immigrate to the United States
mm-hmm.
are going to have a much more difficult time to do so because the source documents, the documents I spoke of earlier, like birth certificates and things like this,
mm-hmm.
are much harder for people from overseas to get their hands on before they come to the United States. And
mm-hmm.
if they're not able to produce those documents when they get into the United States, they would not be able to get a Real ID driver's license.
Right.
And a lot of people believe the burden, there's too great of a burden on people that want to immigrate into the United States to be able to show these documents, the source documents, to get the Real ID driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a third group. You have the people of the Jewish community that are opposed to this
mm-hmm.
for the reason I just gave, but also because, let's face it, what happened during the 40s during the late 30s and 40s, 1900s, with Hitler, the Nazis, mm-hmm. concentration mm-hmm. camps, the Holocaust, tattoos. Mm-hmm. This all, the Real ID Act, reminds a lot of Jewish people of that time period.
Right.
Now, so for that reason, you have a lot of people, whether they be Baptist, Jewish, whatever religion, that are opposed mm-hmm. to the Real ID Act. It does infringe on their First Amendment right, which specifically states Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or mm-hmm. prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we get to the Fourth Amendment. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued, mm-hmm. but upon probable cause. Now, when you create these databases, and let's appreciate, even though the federal government and the states may want to tell you they are secure, mm-hmm. that they won't be compromised, the fact is, we know from history, that is not true. Mm-hmm. We have many instances, and I could go on for hours talking about them, where state DMV databases have been compromised. But the best example I like to speak about is what took place in Nevada just 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. A Nevada state DMV database, or DMV office, Department of Motor Vehicle Office, was burglarized. A company named Digimark provided driver's licenses for the state of Nevada, their residents. At the time of the burglary, Digimark claimed that, number one, the information contained in the BAT databases was encrypted, and number two, that each night the hard drives were being wiped clean. So the fact that this office was burglarized did not present a threat to Nevada residents because the information was encrypted and databases were being wiped clean each day, each night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, the fact was, much later down the road, Digimark and the state of Nevada itself came clean to the residents of Nevada and admitted, number one, the databases weren't being wiped clean each night, and worse, number two, the information stored in those databases was not encrypted.
Mm.
So for people to believe that just because they're told that these databases are in fact secure, mm-hmm. think of that instance, think of how many laptops, whether they belong to the VA or any other government agency or department, have been lost, stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have many examples, and really too many to get into, of where information has in fact been compromised, some because of lost computers. But many times it's because people have been able to hack into these databases and retrieve information, obviously unauthorized. Mm-hmm. And then we have a third problem, which is in many instances we have employees of these agencies and departments that have actually sold the information for profit.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they've taken the information, sold it to people, identity thieves and others, that have benefited from the use of that information.
Mm-hmm.
Not only in state DMVs have we had employees that have participated in that kind of wrongdoing, we've had employees and agencies around the world that have sold blank passports, authentic passports that are just blank and would allow somebody to fill in the information as desired.
Mm-hmm.
So for people to believe that databases are secure, number one, that's a false assumption, and they should not mm-hmm. believe it. And number two, the real reality is there is no way to ensure that a database is secure. But I want to get to the Third Amendment that people use to object to the Real ID Act, and that's the Tenth Amendment,
mm-hmm.
which is simple. The power is not delegated to the United
exactly.
States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people,
mm-hmm.
which is what we refer to as the States' Rights Amendment.
Right.
The federal government has no right to dictate to the states anything concerning state identification or, in this
right.
case, driver's licenses.
Right.
Now, the Department of Homeland Security will tell you the Real ID Act is not a mandatory act. In other words, states
mm-hmm.
are not being made to comply. It's voluntary.
Mm-hmm.
That is absurd for anybody to believe that for a number of reasons. Number one, if states don't comply, then they are definitely going to be held to task in terms of federal funding that they might right. receive for transportation, education, sure. and other areas.
Sure.
Okay? So this idea that it's not mandatory is absolutely ludicrous.
Right.
Number two, when we talk about states' rights, what makes this such an important issue is the way our government is set up, our Constitution has set our government up. For you and I as citizens, our most effective way to affect change, to dissent, is through our local and state representatives. Mm-hmm. If the federal government interferes in our ability to be able to do so by mandating things that our states must do, we lose our ability to dissent.
Absolutely. We'll need to hammer that point home when we get back here, Mark. Stay with us, folks. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, but eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Mark Lerner, we're discussing the Real ID Act. Mark, let me just comment on a couple points you made there, because I was thinking about this all through that, really the first hour up until the point where you mentioned the 10th Amendment, and that is the notion of jurisdiction. Several weeks ago, I had Larry Beecraft on the show. He's one of the most prominent attorneys in the country on federal taxation has defended a number of people successfully, most recently Tommy Cryer. But if you go to his website, if you just type in Beecraft Briefs into a search engine, folks, you can pull up a brief that he's written on federal jurisdiction. And basically, that brief says that the states have jurisdiction within their geographical boundaries, and the federal government only has jurisdiction in the 10 square miles of Washington, D.C., and other areas that they acquire by secession from the states. In other words, a state has to cede a portion of land to the federal government to have jurisdiction. So unless there's something in the Constitution that permits the government explicitly, as I see it, Mark, explicitly lets the government collect data on individual citizens within the 50 states, all of this intrusion by the federal government into the 1994 Driver's Protection Privacy Act, I probably got the words in the wrong order, but is illegal and unconstitutional.
You are absolutely correct. And I'm sure what your previous guest would also tell you is about what I'm going to say right now. When we allow the federal government to overstep its bounds, we lose our ability to work through our local and state leaders to effect change. Because basically the state leaders, our state representatives, are taking it out of the picture. They're no longer an effective force for us to be able to voice our dissent, because they're being squashed by the federal government.
Right.
So the Real ID Act is extremely important, not just because of the First and the Fourth Amendment, but this idea of the Tenth Amendment, of the federal government overstepping its bounds in terms of what its authorities are, threatens all of our civil liberties, not just concerning the Real ID Act, but forever. I mean, the point is, we cannot allow the federal government to start enacting laws or mandating laws that they simply constitutionally are not able to do.
Right.
Now, so these are the three basic premises or arguments for the opposition of the Real ID Act, the First, Fourth, and Tenth Amendment. A lot of gun owners will oppose the Real ID Act because they see it as a threat to the Second Amendment. Right. If you're going to be required to show this Real ID driver's license to be able to purchase ammunition or to buy weapons, whether it's a rifle or a gun, okay, they see this as a way to collect further information and eventually be able to restrict a person's ability to purchase a weapon or ammunition.
Right.
So potentially down the road, it does affect the Second Amendment as well. Right. Now, this is all good and fine, and this is why we have over 600 groups, some large, very large, opposing the Real ID Act. But the fact of the matter is, as I go around the country, I have the opportunity to speak to other people that oppose the Real ID Act. And the problem we have is this. 70% of the people in this country support the Real ID Act. 70%.
Oh. We've got to address that when we get back, Mark. Sorry, we're at the top of the hour. Folks, we'll be back in a few minutes, and we'll discuss that. 70% support it. My gosh. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your